Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer. Tonight, we're going to get to our documentaries on the USS Liberty. We're going to do two. We're going to do one's about a half hour and one's about an hour. And when we factor into account commercials in support of the network, it gives me about just about 10 or 15 minutes here at the most to just to introduce what's going on here and just chat with my listeners for a minute or two. We'll get Gary and Chris back on with us tomorrow night. I think Lori is going to be on with us tomorrow night. She does such a fantastic job. I can't wait till she comes back on as well. She's a wonderful reporter, and she does such good, thorough research. I'm very blessed to have her presence. We're going to work on having her tomorrow night. So she always has a power-packed couple hours for us, so I'm really looking forward to that. But in honor of all the Zionists, stinking, reeking, ranking, skanking throughout the Goldman-Trump administration, one after another, and the Bush administration, and the Obama administration, all of them were here. Equal opportunity Zionizers. Oh, in honor of all the Zionizers, we're going to play the USA, and to show you how bad it goes, it ends up going. When you basically sell your country's soul and your treasure and your birthright out to another nation or to a group of people who have created another nation, i.e. Israel, and I have nothing against Israelis or Jews. This is not a persecution thing. I don't have any bigot or prejudice in me. But these stories have to be told. And, of course, we never have justice. We never have justice for the liberty. We never have justice for Waco. We never have justice for Oklahoma City. We don't have justice for 9/11. Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld seem to get some kind of pass for all the mass, almost literally a Holocaust, if you fact into account all the people who died in the 9/11 wars that ensued after the 9/11 false flag terror, CIA-sponsored, supposed terror attack. Yeah, it was a terror attack. Committed by the terrorist government and its corporate entities. And so why is this obsession with Hillary and Obama, and all of a sudden memories, boy, the globalists must really be having a ball. The Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney, they all get a pass, everybody's memory just disappears, everybody gets a case of Alzheimer's disease, and the Alzheimer's kicks in, and the memory goes bye-bye, and we all forget about the Republican arm of the New World Order because we got a good Republican. We're going to take that party back. We're going to get the right Republicans in there. Yeah, baby. And we're going to go get one for the good old U.S. of A. and watch us go right down the toilet with the right foot of the New World Order for the Republicans. And the D is the Democrat for the left foot of the New World Order. And they do a seamless, just a nice, gentle walk forward. And the Democrats kind of hold come in and they push through all their tyranny and then the people get sick of that, and then they bring back in a Republican like Bush or Trump or somebody, and then they put their brand of tyranny, that special brand that's trademark of tyranny with the police state and the security state and the asset forfeiture and seizure and the drug war and the overseas war and the war against Korea and the war against Iran and the more troops to Afghanistan. Well, I hear Trump's going to say no to the troops in Afghanistan. You want to know what they're going to do? And this was Eric Prince's plan that I heard was Eric Prince was presenting it to the White House as if it were going to be policy, is rather than send 50,000 U.S. troops or 5,000 U.S. troops or one U.S. troop over, they're going to turn it over to the private contractors. And that's their stated goal, to be in Afghanistan for indefinitely and to have the whole thing run by private mercenary army contractors. Oh, yay, Trump denied the troop increase in Afghanistan. You watch how many private contractors get sent over there. And they can do a lot of that more under the table and behind the scenes and not even tell you, because the private side that they bring into the public side ends up operating in private, and they don't tell us what they're doing, privatizing every war, everything, every court, every contract, every government, every legislating agency, every administrative agency, private, public, private partnership. Hillary told you about that. Good old Hillary said, we got to have public, private partnerships. And what's Trump doing? More public, private partnerships. He's just spending $200 million a year of our money to buy computers from his corporate buddies, buying stuff from themselves that they make. They buy it from themselves with somebody else's money, meaning our money, and of course telling other people what to do with their children. And that's your new globalism. That's your right foot of the New World Order. That's your Tillerson big oil, Sessions big drug war, international conquest. I wonder which Zionist Jesuit handed Trump his script that said, we're going to have sanctions against Iran. We're going to talk a they paint a big picture what a big demon they are, and they'll go off to war with them too. Great. You know how thin we're spread on the international level? We can't afford another war. We can't afford another. But of course, since it's not their money, it's our money. I guess they can afford it since they don't have to pay for it. And of course, not only is it not their money, meaning them, the government, the Goldman Trump administration, sending the boys and girls off, sending the planes and the missiles off to Syria. Sure, they don't need 50,000 troops. They're going to do everything by Predator drone, everything by cruise missile, everything by Tomahawk missile. You make it a helicopter or a fighter aircraft flying over. Oh, they're going to roboticize everything. So with that, I want to thank people for joining us tonight. We're going to get two documentaries in honor of all the Zionists stinking throughout the Goldman Trump administration. We're going to play a 30-minute piece on the USS Liberty. It was kind of a general good overview. And then the second one, the one that's an hour long, is real, just like the guys that were there just at a little conference talking. And that was a little more, the both of them seemed to be pretty good. I did not listen to both entirely. So please watch with caution, proceed with caution. Have your discernment on high. They both look pretty good at my first initial screening, but I can't sit around for hours a day vetting absolutely everything and then dealing with everything else I deal with in real life and activist life and the unreal life, the unreal nightmare of the witch's court on top of my, which can sometimes be a difficult life just getting by, paying the bills and working every day. I'm sure people understand how that is. So, but please don't forget that if you can afford to support the network on a monthly basis, send in a small donation each month. It's not going to kill you to send in $20 a month. Try to have the discipline to do it and realize that little $20 that you send in does make a difference. Be a good RBN listener. Be a contributor. Be a stockholder in RBN. You own a little stock in the unofficially stockholder. Buy some good stock. Forget, how is this economy sustaining a stock market at 20-whatever thousand? Are you kidding me? The businesses are closing down. The only ones that are opening up are doing it with grant money from the state, which is our money, the taxpayers' money. There's not a real, I haven't seen a real independent, I mean, it's not happening. There's not any reality to support this burgeoning stock market. It's a pump and dump. They're hyping up this to make it look good. Happy days are here again. If they can throw the slaves enough bread and circus, meaning us, the sheeple, enough bread and circus, enough prosperity, enough bones, make your pension go up, make your portfolio increase. Oh, stock market's doing great. That time's never been better. They can get us all to shut up while he sends the boys and girls off to die in North Korea. They don't have to go to Afghanistan. They're going to North Korea instead. They don't have to go to Afghanistan. They're going to Iraq. They're going to Iran now. They got a new destination right over the border. They don't have to go to Afghanistan. They're going to Africa now. We have AFRICOM setting up right down the street from the Chinese so we can stage a nice little war there, too. At our expense, once again, it's not their boys and girls who go off to die. It's the little guy. I don't want to use any words that are too negative, but it's the gullible, flag-waving, or just, hey, and maybe just desperate. I mean, and I don't fault the people who are desperate. The gullible are low on discernment, and they usually have heard his taste of truth and reject it. There's people out there who just don't have any, there's no other way to go unless go work as a guard at your local prison, work cleaning, toilets at the local Walmart, or go off into the military. I mean, in many rural, small communities, that's all there is to do. These communities are dying. The one I'm in went from 1,500 people to 750 in 5 years. That's complete die-off. Okay, and so I'm sure the globalists are gleefully rubbing their hands over that one, but they're going to burn in hell for it, and there's a special place for them everywhere like there is for all of us who seek the truth and try to do righteous deeds and acts. Start with activism. Start with caring about other people's freedom. If your neighbors aren't free, you're not free. And you're not going to be free if you don't get everybody knowing about jury nullification. Go to courtroomwatch.org. That's courtroomwatch.org. Download your jury nullification flyers and pass them out everywhere. Use your imagination. Be creative. Don't be lazy. If you don't do something for freedom every day, you shall lose it. What did you do for freedom today? What did you do yesterday? What will you do tomorrow? What do you got planned for next week? Got to be something or we're all sunk. This is not a spectator sport here. This is life or death. Tom LaGuevara is still rotting in a cage, even though he's been listed as released by the witch's court, and the witch's jail won't let him out because the witch's prison, the witch's jail, is owned by the witch's pension. So how do you think Judge Anna is out? Tom's wicked witch is going to be in any hurry to issue an order from the bench demanding, commanding that Tom be released? She's going to dick around for a few more days and hope that everybody plays patsy cake, and everybody should dick around for a few more weeks, hoping everybody plays softball. She doesn't get any phone blitz, and nobody's calling saying, what are you doing holding this man who's not only been set free lawfully by your own court, but he's also ill and not getting his medication, which is an international crime? What are you doing? Send me an email. I want to know. I'm going to call every day until he gets out. Real simple. Nowhere in there was any screaming. Nowhere in there was any threatening. Just a real firm, what are you doing? I want him out. I'm very concerned. I used to go to Oregon. Now I don't anymore. I'm never going to spend a penny on any company that is manufactured anything in Oregon. And we're going to boycott the state, and you can spiral into a communist cesspool if you want. But we're not going to let that happen if we can help it. We, the people, command the Tom LaGuevara be released. There's a lot of ways you can do it. Just lending your voice and letting them know that you care is enough. You may not see the witch's prison door open up right away. Many times it does. I have seen it open right away. Not always. I've noticed this, that about 80% of the time, roughly 8 out of 10 times, activism will win. The witch's door, they cave almost every time. 99% of the time, the system will cave in if the public pressure is heavy enough. But it has to be heavy, and they will cave. It's just a matter of when. I've seen it happen. It's got to be massive, though, and it's got to be a lot of public attention. If people just disappear between the cracks, which is what they're hoping will happen with the Bundys and Santilli and, Tom and, guys like Victor DePonso, who's, just kind of vanished off into they love the fact that people's memories are short. This is why we can never talk about Hillary and Obama going to prison along with their, unless we're talking about Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld going along with them. Cellmates, bunkos, let them lovey-dovey each other in prison. But not one group and not the other. Are you kidding me? What's this implication that we're going to lock up Hillary because of what? Benghazi emails? But we're going to let the perpetrators of 9/11 go scot-free? Oh, I don't think so. Okay, somebody else, let some pimping for Trump game show host on another network. And another play that game. And with that, that probably just brings us right up to about the time here for a one-hour documentary and a half-hour documentary. We played a half-hour one first, the hour one second. So I'm hoping this first one will take us, I could talk about two or three more minutes. We'll go up to the break. And then I think right when we come back from the break, which is coming up in about, I think we got a 10, about a 10-20 break here coming up for a minute or two. So I'll take us to the break. We'll come back. I'll introduce the two documentaries, and we'll roll it. So I want to appreciate, you know, very much the people that take an interest in this broadcast. I want to thank all the listeners out there. I hate to even start naming y'all because I'm going to forget somebody and somebody's going to get offended. But y'all know who y'all are out there. We appreciate you tuning into this network tonight. We try to bring you truth in an objective way. I used to get objective, what I thought was some kind of objective reality from other networks, and I don't get that anymore. I just get, you know, Sessions is a patriot, even though he's a police state monster, just ramping up the drug war against his own people, asking for forfeiture and seizure. Great. You know, it's like the NRA. Despite the fact that the Obama administration had no problem with the pump stocks, the National Rifle Association has a big problem with it, and thinks that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives ought to crack down and have more regulations. Yeehaw! Way to go, National! Yeah, y'all! Way to go, National Rifle Association! More liberal than Obama! Woohoo! Good God in heaven. The National Retard Association. If you want a good gun group, and you should have one, two things. Number one would be Get to Gun Owners of America, GOA. It's Larry Pratt. Larry's a decent guy. I think I've met him once. Larry's awesome. He's as good as you're going to get in the Patriot movement. Teeny little bit of a neocon itch around the fringes, maybe a little too much Israel first, but hey, we're going to take care of that tonight with our documentaries on what happens when you let your government go Zionist. They start willy-nilly killing our own people in false flag terror attacks like the USS Liberty, like 9/11. And this is why it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican administration, we cannot let this happen. It's got to stop. The three-letter agencies have to go bye-bye. This unnatural fetish with international policy, which is nothing more than dictatorship, that's a Roman word, by the way, has to go away, and we got to get back to diplomacy. Remember diplomacy? Oh, sorry, you got to actually talk with someone and work it out. No, see, the whores that run this country run the world don't like that. They don't want to work it out. They just want to tell people what they're going to do. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do it my way. Oh, I got people in my own family like that. They're just like nails on a chalkboard. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Here's the way it is. You know, you can't do it. That's not the way the real world is. If you're going to be a dictator, you're going to wind up either, you're mostly going to, well, let's just put it this way. The Word of God says, live by the sword, die by the sword.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Nature's waiting.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you to Sam. I believe it's Sam who's filling in on the board tonight, and I thank him for piecing all this together like he does. It's a masterful job that the guys on the board do, the unsung heroes of this broadcast. We appreciate that, and I just want to urge people to support the network. So please, reach out to John Stantmiller. You can call 800-724-2719. That's if you want to donate over the phone. It's real simple. Just call the RBN Network, 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719, or you can send a mail. You can send by mail to 2251. That's 2251 Double Creek Drive. Double as in two, D-O-U-B-L-E, Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Thanks for your support, people. And so anyway, we're going to have a 30-minute, roughly 20, 30-minute documentary on the USS Liberty, which is kind of a good overview, an hour with the survivors. I want people to join us again tomorrow night. We should have Lori on with Gary and Chris again. And so thanks for being with us. I'm going to probably hang up and call back and listen over the listen line. And so people, you can listen over the phone. You can listen over the Internet. Be a force multiplier and post a link to this show everywhere you can on the Internet. Go to the comments section of every website you can think of and just post a couple of words about RBN if you enjoy what you hear, and encourage people to tune in and listen for themselves. And they'll get something that they won't get anywhere else. With that, I'm going to tune out. Thanks, Mike on the board. Thanks, John Stantmiller. Thanks, Mike Herzog. And we'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks for joining us, folks.
This is Ken McDermott Rowe. Welcome to History Counts. 40 years ago, an American naval vessel, the USS Liberty, was the victim of an unprovoked and savage attack by a foreign country while it was stationed in the Mediterranean Sea. Today's guest, retired naval officer James Ennis, was an eyewitness to the attack. We'll talk about the bloody details of the attack, and we'll talk about the events that followed. Described by a top U.S. admiral as, quote, an official cover-up without precedent in American naval history. We'll be back with our guest, James Ennis, after this short break. Our guest today is James Ennis, author of Assault on the Liberty, which recounts the devastating attack on the United States Navy ship, the Liberty, during the Six-Day War. Mr. Ennis, a retired U.S. naval officer, was serving as a lieutenant on the USS Liberty at the time of the attack. He's also one of the creators of the USS Liberty Memorial website, located at ussliberty.org. Mr. Ennis, thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Mr. Ennis, for those who aren't familiar with this attack, if you could put it in some context for us by telling us first when it occurred and where was the Liberty at the time of the attack.
This was was on June 8th, 1967, just a bit over 40 years ago, in the eastern Mediterranean, along the Gaza Strip, which was the border between Israel and Egypt. We were sent out there. We were in an intelligence ship, and we were sent out there to collect radio signals, actually primarily of the Soviets that were in the area. And I was officer of the deck on the ship that morning, 7 o'clock until noon. And so I brought the ship to the coast, and about 12 miles from the coast, right, paralleled the course, slowed the ship to 5 knots. We just proceeded down the coast.
What was going on at the war at that time? The war had begun a few days before the attack on 5 June, correct?
That's right. So this was the fourth day of the war. Quiet. We knew that over the mountains there was some shooting going on, but where we were was quite peaceful. The visibility was unlimited. High in the sky, airplanes were flying over apparently toward the war. And
Israel had been successful at that point in the war?
Oh, very much. In the first 30 minutes or so of the war, which was initiated by the Israelis, with a surprise attack, destroyed just about every Arab airplane. This winter night with you.
The smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend. Landovers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you out, don't you know it?
In the Middle East, so that there was almost no opposition by the time we arrived 4 days later.
They had attacked Egypt, Syria, Jordan, all suddenly and by surprise?
Yes. Nasser had been making some noises on the coast, but he had no intention of invading, but very, very bellicose. And Israelis have admitted since then that they knew he was not going to attack, and they used that as an excuse to capture more Arab land. So that was what was going on, and they didn't want the United States to know of their plans.
They had a particular plan that actually was an attack that was going to go on the morning of 8 June, isn't that correct?
They planned to invade the Golan Heights and capture the Golan from Syria on the 8th of June.
And this was not anticipated by the international community? This would have been a surprise?
It was feared. I talked to Secretary of State Dean Rusk afterward, and he, when my book was published, and he told me that they were afraid that Israel was going to do that, and they were trying to persuade them to hold back. Rusk said he stayed on the phone with the Israelis all night, urging them to keep their forces where they were and not to escalate the war because they were afraid the Russians would get into it.
So the U.S. was neutral in this war?
Officially, we were neutral. We appeared to be siding more with the Israelis than anything else, but we weren't taking an active role in this shooting.
And the Liberty was in international waters at the time?
It was. We were just past the 12-mile limit, which the Egyptians claimed as their territorial waters. Israel, I think, claimed 3, or perhaps it was the other way. But we made a point to stay just beyond the 12-mile limit where we wouldn't be seen by either side as within their territorial waters.
Well, now, as you said, you were coming on deck for the 0800 watch, and this is in military time. It'd be for civilians 8 o'clock in the morning. You came on a little early, as I note from your book. What was the situation on the ship at that time?
It was the custom to relieve the watch closer to 7 or 7:15 just so that the off-going watch could have breakfast. I was officer of the deck from 7:15 or so until 12. This situation was quite calm. We had, since it was a bright sunny day and there was no sign of hostilities near us, we had men who were off duty sunbathing on deck. It was pretty relaxed. And around 11 o'clock, suddenly there was a puff of smoke on the coast. We didn't know what that was, but thick black smoke coursed down the coast in the wind. So we learned much later that that was an ammunition dump that had blown up, but it really had nothing to do with us.
The officer you were relieving mentioned that you had some aircraft visiting you before you came up.
We did. Before I came on watch, around 6 o'clock, there was a slow Israeli reconnaissance plane that circled us. As soon as I took the watch, another airplane circled us. And then every 45 minutes all morning, about every 45 minutes, an Israeli recon plane or a pair of jet aircraft would come out and circle. circle us two or three times.
Did you believe that those aircraft could identify the ship and its country?
We knew they did because, remember, we were an intercept ship, and we had 100 men down below that were with earphones listening to radios, and they heard these jet pilots and the recon pilots as they circled us. Each time they would radio their headquarters and say, we are circling in a ship with an American flag and men sunbathing on deck. So it was very clear that they knew who we were, that and their headquarters knew who we were.
In fact, the flag was significant. You caused it to be changed.
We had been steaming across the Mediterranean at high speed at 17, 18 knots for nearly a week, and the flag had gotten dirty from smoke and tattered from the wind. So the first thing I did when I took the watch at 7 o'clock was to order that flag replaced. The signalman quartermaster protested because he said, that's my last flag. I don't have any more clean flags. And I told him, I don't care. We are going to show our brightest, cleanest colors in here so that these planes circling us know exactly who we were. I was relieved at 12, but I came back at 1 o'clock for general quarters. So I came on this time as junior officer of the deck. Another officer was at OD, but I still had the con. I mean, I was driving.
So you were a naval lieutenant, which would be, for those who don't know, Navy rank would be comparable to an Army captain. So you were just one grade below the executive officer, Lieutenant Commander Phil Armstrong?
That's right.
So you're on the bridge?
I was on the bridge again from 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. So at that point, I was junior officer of the deck, and I was still driving. During the morning, I was usually the only officer on the bridge. And for general quarters, the captain and several other officers were there for that occasion. We finally we finished our general quarters drill at just before 2, and suddenly, as I was being relieved, radar picked up three very fast boats approaching the ship, just coming over the horizon 15 miles away. And immediately, over the top of the boats, we picked up three jet aircraft approaching the ship. I was just being relieved, and I went with the ship's photographer up to the next deck, the fourth deck of the ship, to try to take some pictures of these approaching jets. We had been, as I said, circled all day, and these were more, appeared to be more of the same. So I went up on the 04 level and along the starboard side of the ship. That's the right side. I could see these jets passing down the side. They turned left and made a big 180-degree left circle and came straight down the center line, straight at us. The photographer with a Nikon and a long lens on it was watching them through the lens, taking pictures, and suddenly they started firing. We had men in all four gun mounts. They were just 50 caliber machine gun mounts. But from where I stood on the 04 level, I could see the direct hits to all the gun mounts as men were just blown literally high into the air from the explosions. And then the first airplane passed overhead, and I looked out, and there was a second one turning to make its run. I had been hit by shrapnel from the first explosions, which broke my leg about 5 inches above the knee. My leg looked like it had two knees, yet remarkably, I was standing on one leg and thrown up against the railing, so I wasn't knocked off my feet. Everybody around me had fallen and was bleeding. I was able to, on one good leg, I was able to hop down the ladder into the pilot house on the next deck, where about that time the second airplane hit and blew more holes in the pilot house, and there was blood and men on deck everywhere, and captain calling to send a message to the 6th Fleet that were under attack.
So Captain McGonigal, who later received the Congressional Medal of Honor, I understand, he immediately sent a request for help?
That's right. Now, that was difficult as the attacking airplanes were jamming our radios, so it took a few minutes to get a message out, because all we heard was buzzsaw noises on the radio frequencies that we wanted to use. But we did, within about 10 minutes, we got a message out, and we got a reply from the carrier Saratoga that was about 300 miles away, and they said we're sending port immediately. Remarkable thing there was that we later talked to Captain Tully. He said as soon as his airplanes got to the horizon, he got a message from Washington saying to get those airplanes back.
Why did they call them back?
we have been asking for 40 years why they called him back. The official story is that they called him back because the attack was over. Well, that wasn't true at all. There were two separate launches of aircraft. The first one that was launched almost immediately, those were called back. It was more than an hour later that they sent another set of aircraft to our aid, and those also were immediately called back. Now, the Navy story is that there was only one launch of aircraft that, as soon as they were launched, they got an apology from Israel saying that it was all over and that it was we didn't need help anymore, so they recalled the jets.
Now, I understand that, yes, Ms.
McKenzie. That conveniently ignores the entire hour and a quarter or so that we were under attack.
Well, you were first attacked, I understand, by Mirage fighter bombers, but they were then joined by Mystere jets that went to napalm.
That's right. The Mirages actually exhausted all their ammo and armament, and they left the area and were immediately replaced by Mystere's carrying more cannon and napalm, and so they continued the...
Isn't it unusual to hit a ship with napalm?
I think it is. They may have carried napalm because they use it a lot against the tanks in the desert, but it's probably unusual. It's also pretty lethal, as it, since they had already punched close to 821 6- and 8-inch holes in the ship with their rockets, the napalm would then slosh into the rocket holes and cause fires inside. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, you say in your book, quote, the entire superstructure of the ship burst into a wall of flames, end quote.
That's quite so.
And you had quite a few casualties at this point, but this wasn't the end of the attack. You then, 1424, which should be 224 in civilian time, you had a surface attack from boats, right?
Well, that was 2:35, actually, that the torpedo hit, and that was followed immediately. They fired three torpedo boats, the ones that we had first seen when we first saw the aircraft. Those arrived at 2:35, fired five torpedoes, fortunately missed with four of them. One of them blew a 40-foot hole in the side of the ship, killed 25 more men in addition to the nine who were already dead and dying from the aircraft attack. That flooded the large center compartment of the ship that held our intercept team and very nearly took us down. The ship took on a considerable list from all the water we had.
You're right, they continued to circle the ship after launching the torpedoes.
Yeah, and that's where, you get into the deliberateness of the attack. The Israeli story, which they told the United States, was that at that point, as soon as they launched the torpedo, they saw our American flag, recognized us as an American, and never fired again. And that is total falsehood. They fired the torpedo. Three boats came within 50 feet of the ship by the stern, where our name was marked in large English letters, hovered around there for a few minutes, and then they circled us on and off for the next 40 minutes, firing at anything that moved. They fired on stretcher bearers on the main deck and bridge personnel. By this time, we had an oversized American flag. The one that I had hauled up had been shot down, was immediately replaced with the holiday colors, which were about 8 by 12 feet. So that flag was clearly shown, and our name in English. I mean, consider the difference between an Arab warship and an American Navy ship. We have our name in English on the stern and 10-foot-high letters GTR-5 on the bow. They claim they thought we were the Egyptian horse carrier El Quasar, which was waiting to be scrapped at Alexandria.
They claim that they mistook the Liberty for an Egyptian ship that was being scrapped?
Yes. The El Quasar was a horse carrier for the Egyptian cavalry. It was 265 feet long compared to our 450 feet or 540 feet. It looks nothing whatsoever like us, and they certainly knew that it was in port being scrapped. When we didn't sink as we were supposed to, they needed an excuse, so they said that they thought we were the El Quasar.
You also lowered life rafts in anticipation of a need to abandon ship. What happened then?
We launched life rafts at 3:15, they immediately came closer, machine gunned the life rafts in the water, took one of them aboard, and left for a few minutes with that because we were being promised that six fleet aircraft were on the way, and they were obviously afraid that they would be counter the jets from the sixth fleet, so they left. At that point, they started sending, "We're so sorry, we thought it was an Egyptian ship. We apologize for the mistake," messages.
How many casualties did the Liberty suffer?
34 dead and 174 wounded. That number varies because there have been men within the last couple of years who have gotten Purple Hearts for wounds that weren't recognized for Purple Hearts at the time. But there's 174 wounded and 34 dead.
So as I understand it, that's about two-thirds of the whole crew was either dead or wounded?
Yeah, we had 297 men total.
Did you know they were Israelis by the end of the attack?
Most of us didn't. The airplanes that attacked us were not marked. And that's another indication that it was a deliberate attack. Nobody saw markings on the attacking aircraft. The attacking motor torpedo boats apparently had a small Star of David flying, but that was not seen by very many people, if any. Little was known about who was attacking us until we heard it on the radio from the picked up a broadcast from the BBC.
But the Pentagon and the Johnson administration accepted the Israeli apology and their explanation that it was not on purpose?
They accepted the apology. They declined to accept the explanation. Dean Rusk himself, the Secretary of State, has said many times that they accepted the apology for diplomatic reasons. They never believed their story about it being an accident or why it.
Nonetheless, there was a court of inquiry that was held immediately afterward. Did it result in a finding that Israel was culpable? Or did it address
that? The court of inquiry was told what to find. They concluded that the attack was deliberate and that Israel knew they were attacking an American ship. That was not the finding that they published because they were ordered by the White House to publish a false report. There is now online in my website and elsewhere a sworn statement by the legal counsel to the court who says they lied, they published a false report, and even that report was changed in Washington. The members of the court signed it and sent it to Washington, where pages were removed and other pages were rewritten.
There was an independent commission that studied the Liberty, headed by the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moore, in 2003. And he said, quote, there has been an official cover-up without precedent in American naval history, end quote.
That's right. He published that report, which contradicts the official report and concludes that it was a deliberate attack.
Have any members, any surviving members of the crew, ever had the opportunity to testify about the attack before a congressional committee?
No. We have been asking for 40 years for an opportunity to testify. In fact, that's one of the ironies of this thing. There's a bankruptcy magistrate in Florida who spends his time trying to disprove the story of the Liberty. He's written a book in which he claims that there have been 11 or 12 official government investigations, five congressional investigations, that they have all proven and concluded that the attack was a tragic accident. And
the smoke is rising in the shadows overhead.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
That is a tragic lie. There has never been a government investigation that concluded that the attack was an accident, as the Israelis claim.
Would you, at this late date, 40 years after the attack, would you like to see a congressional investigation?
We still ask for that. Nobody will give us that. We thought when the attack first occurred that the lies that were obviously being told by the Israeli government would be corrected when we had a chance to testify. But we were never allowed to testify. We were not allowed to tell our stories, even to the Navy Court of Inquiry. And after that, no member of Congress ever held hearings. Our story was never legally, officially told anywhere in government.
Can I ask you one last question? And that I take that from an excerpt from the commission headed by Admiral Thomas Moore, 2003. He said, quote, "A danger to our national security exists whenever our elected officials are willing to subordinate American interest to those of any foreign nation," end quote. Could you give me your thoughts on that?
Oh, that's absolutely the case. In a situation like this, here we have a small foreign power that deliberately attacked an American ship, killed 34 men. And Congress won't even talk to those 34 men. They take at face value the excuse by the attackers and don't even listen to or allow the victims to tell the truth about what happened. The only way we have ever had a chance to tell the story is in places like this radio show and an occasional book or letter to the editor. The people who attacked us are much better financed and more numerous, and every time we tell a story, the bad guys are out there calling us liars. We can prove everything we say, and Congress won't listen to us. We don't have an opportunity to tell our story very much.
Well, thanks very much for being with us today, Mr. Ennis, to tell the story. This is Ken McDermott Rowe, and I've been talking to Mr. James Ennis about the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty during the Six-Day War. I'll be back in a moment with some final thoughts. Why would Israel have launched such a brutal and unprovoked attack on the USS Liberty?
Now Liberty was a long ship, some called her the spook ship. The man sworn to secrecy. She sailed in international waters off the coast of Sinai into the Mediterranean Sea. With many hard days of full speed ahead, there was soon a mutual feeling of dread as she approached the ever Israeli war zone. And though the crewmen were all together, they please, can you tell me why so many of my brothers died? Was this some sort of game of treason? Or was it just some kind of horrible lie? Well, finally, the officials back in Washington sends out a message that the ship moved farther out to sea. There were too many errors and too much time wasted. The bombs were coming down. It would be too late for oh, please, can you tell me why so many of my brothers died? Was this some sort of game of treason? Or was it just some kind of horrible lie? Oh, please, can you tell me why so many of my brothers died? Was it some sort of game of treason? Or was it just some kind of horrible lie?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.